Here to celebrate National Poetry Month, Kate Fadig joins me in the studio tonight. Well known as one of Cincinnati's fine poets, Kate's poems have appeared in a number of publications, as well as her chapbook, Slipstream. Tonight, we're going to talk about Kate's latest book of poetry, Self-Portrait as Hildegard of Bingen. And Kate, I am delighted to welcome you back, as always.
And I'm so delighted to be here. Thanks, Barbara.
Thanks for coming. So, tell us about who Hildegard of Bingen was and when she lived.
Hildegard of Bingen lived in the 12th century. She was a German woman, a very intelligent German woman. She's often called a polymath. That's that person who is an expert in so many areas, just a wealth of information at their fingertips. She was known as a Benedictine abbess, an artist, a composer, a dietitian, a naturalist, a poet, a traveling preacher, a mystic, a political consultant. And in 1972, interestingly enough, to me at least, some of her music won a Grammy, right up there with John Mellencamp, the Steve Miller Band, and Chicago.
Oh my gosh, that is an interesting fact. Well, all of the poems in this book, as one might presume, do center around your focus on her. So I want you to start us off, if you would, by reading Self-Portrait.
Interestingly enough, this poem was written 4, maybe 5 years before any of the others. Self-Portrait as Hildegard of Bingen. No voice burning from heaven, no doors opened, no mysteries unraveled, only light pouring over rooftops after wind and rain. So is it blasphemy or elegance to watch stars make their way through to witness devastation?
Thank you. What called to you about Hildegard? Why did you decide to move on from here, this standalone poem, so to speak?
That's a question I'm often asked. And what's interesting to me, I realize the more I try to answer it, is that Hildegard really chose me. I was part of a 30-day challenge to write a poem a day that was posted on a major press's website the day after I wrote it, and started by just looking around what was happening. It was in May, lots of nature coming to life, and the first poem had Hildegard in it, When Hildegard Takes Up Her Pen. And I wrote that one and let it go, and at the time was reading a lot of a Franciscan theologian, Ilia Delelio, who talks about the unbearable wholeness of being. I was reading a lot of physics and getting more and more convinced that the world isn't made up of pieces or made up of things, but there is this wholeness that is at the center of it all. And continued to write those poems, one a day for 30 days, and I couldn't stop Hildegard from coming into them. I'd been reading her. Once again, I'd read her some 30 years before. So I just let that happen. Put them away 2 months after finishing the challenge, and then went back and realized there was something there. They were connected. There was something to build. And so that's when I did the chiseling work of making the chapbook.
Wonderful. This flowering occurred in spring.
Such
an appropriate time. So if you would, read us the next poem. It's entitled, And Takes Up Her Pen, which in fact you did.
I did. And takes up her pen. Light bursts from the great mountain, one figure covered with eyes, another showered with living sparks, stand at its foot. And the windows in the mountain fly open, nothing remains hidden. So tell me, what is there left to say? This one peony, the ant poised to open it. Some comfort to think the peony needs the ant, the poem needs the poet, to think the ant craves the bud's waxy sweetness, and the poet some lure of words, shimmering flames, clouds floating in a clear sky, her shadow in the living light.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
One of the intriguing themes that runs through these poems is this counterpoint, if you will, of blasphemy and elegance. And you refer to it in the first poem. And there is a poem that is titled Blasphemy or Elegance. So read that to us if you would, please.
Blasphemy or Elegance. A feast of blueberries as the empty bowl fills with red trillium, uprooted from the old woods to ease the coming silence that holds distance, leans into indigo grief, stained glass window filled with light. The child touches green, then blue, then yellow, laughs, announces, I have a golden hand.
I just love that line, I have a golden hand.
I know, it's delightful, isn't it?
It is, it is. There's another theme. So there's this repeated acknowledgement of death and destruction in this world. Mm-hmm. And nevertheless, as we just heard in that poem, this acknowledgement of faith, this love in the world, if you will. And I want to ask you to read a poem about that, but I wonder if you might expand on that a bit in relation to these poems that you wrote or Hildegard's life.
I think the energy that's in that theme for me is that most of the usual religious language that we use to talk about that experience, for me at least, and I think for a lot of other people, no longer works. And the more we learn through science, interestingly enough, about how the world works, how it's structured, what gives it its life, at the center of that has to be this energy that, and I like using the word love, as the Franciscan theologian I love so much does, that's what holds it. And that's what, for me at least, I hope in as I experience things going on around me and within me.
And is that what you draw from Hildegard also?
Definitely. I think she lived in a time, again, when women weren't especially appreciated in culture and society, but she knew so much that she was grounded in that, and that what she had to say about all of that mattered, and that people needed to hear it.
Well, if you would, I want you to read In My Dream of Hildegard. Do you want to say anything about this poem before you read it?
I think for me, it is at the core of the faith or the hope or the love that we've been talking about right here. And I think it says it as best I can right now, at least. In my dream of Hildegard, we turn to face the worst our kind can do. Our bodies, the spinning death of stars, woven with all that lives. A fragile weft of green runs through her fingers. The yes of her eyes, enough of a prayer.
The yes of her eyes is such an affirmation.
Yes.
Thank you for that. What a wonderful note to end on tonight. It's been lovely to be with you. Thanks for visiting with us, Kate.
Thank you, Barbara.
I've been talking with Kate Fadek about her latest chapbook titled Self-Portrait as Hildegard of Bingen. You'll find more information about it at wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Barbara Gray.